From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you this afternoon. I'm joined in studio by Tracy Rodden. She's the executive director of Feed New Mexico Kids. And Jay Marie, her husband and David are a real estate team with Simply Real Estate in Albuquerque. And Jayma is a volunteer board member, currently serving as a secretary with Feed New Mexico Kids. Ladies, welcome to ABQ Connect.
Hi, thanks for having us. Thank you.
Hey, Tracy, take a minute, if you would, to introduce our listeners to Jayma.
So this is Jayma Reed. She has been volunteering with Feed New Mexico Kids. Jayma, when did you start volunteering?
I think it was in 2019.
I think so, too. Yeah. And I think that's when we met and we just kind of chatted and knew each other because we were both volunteering. And once I became the executive director recently, gosh, we asked Jayma to come on the board as the secretary, which is the person who gets to take all the notes. It's not the most favored position, but I had a good feeling about her with her exactness and being a real estate agent. She would know. But when did you come on the board?
I think it's been about a year almost now.
It's been about a year. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm 55, so time is like warp speed in my head. It seemed like yesterday, but it's been a year.
Well, and you know, 2019, I'm hoping there's listeners out there that are thinking, hey, I've been listening to the station for a long time, hearing about Feed New Mexico Kids. Part of the reason we have Jayma in studios today is we want you to understand what it means to volunteer and to be part of something. And if it's not Feed New Mexico Kids, maybe it's another ministry. But volunteerism is just amazing. So, Jayma, I'm going to ask you, how did you find out about Feed New Mexico Kids and what led you to be part of the ministry?
So I was going to Calvary and I took the Life Track course. And I met with a pastor and we were trying to figure out what would be a good fit with my skills and what I enjoyed doing. And he's the one that introduced me to Feed New Mexico Kids. So we figured I really wanted to serve the community. I didn't really know how to connect with that. And he brought it up. And so through that program, I started volunteering on Mondays.
Okay, so this is interesting for me because as a host of ABQ Connect, I'm thinking about, you know, all the different churches that are involved. Like, for example, Legacy Church is involved not only with our station, but with Feed New Mexico Kids. Yeah. Our good friend Dustin, who also serves on the board, one of the pastors. And so Dustin kind of found out about Feed New Mexico Kids through his wife that was listening to the radio.
That's so cool.
And so I'm hoping that there's people that are doing exactly that same thing today. I'm going to have to, and I always ask you this, Tracy.
Yeah.
And I always feel bad about asking you about it because this is something that's internal to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've had some hurt.
Yeah.
In the past, but you know, you're not dwelling on that hurt. You're out there using that background to help you minister to people. So explain to us what food insecurity is.
So food insecurity, that term actually means anyone who does not know where or when their next meal will be coming to them or where it will come from.
And you've experienced that.
I have.
How old were you when you first experienced that?
So I think I was probably 6 or 7. And just as an extra background, so it doesn't feel like I'm telling the same thing over and over. My parents got divorced and my mom took us to another state to live. And then my sister and I, who is younger, and she kind of fell off the deep end with drugs and alcohol. Mm-hmm. And I just remember having at 7, having to wake up my sister, who was 2 years younger, to try to go to school and look for something to eat. And I just want to be really, really clear about this. This is my own personal experience on why I experienced food insecurity, because my mom chose a lifestyle of substance abuse. But that's not always the case. Some parents or single parents just fall on hard times. I mean, right now the economy is brutal. You know, grocery bills are up. Everything is more expensive, gas, everything. So that just happens to be my experience. And my education suffered immensely for 4 years being in that until I went to live with my dad. And then, you know, I was no longer food insecure because he provided correctly for me. But
Tracy, you're talking about being a 7-year-old.
Yeah.
And you didn't have a whole lot to eat over the weekend.
Right.
and you had to go to school Monday morning.
Right.
How did you feel physically? Could you concentrate on that quiz you were supposed to take?
No, I was lethargic often. And so the school thought that I had a learning disability. And there's nothing wrong with having a learning disability. It's good that schools try to pick that up. But I mean, we're talking about 1974, not now, mm-hmm. where schools are much more equipped to see that in a child. So for many years, they just categorized me as kind of a lost cause, I would say. She's not going to go forward really well. Just keep pushing her to the next grade. And with my mom being addicted to substance abuse, we moved a lot. And so we changed schools probably every 4 to 6 months. So mm-hmm. that on top of it impacted my education a lot. There's a lot of lost years. Those critical years, kindergarten, you know, first, second, third grade, it is kind of a blur for me.
Jamie, you're a local businesswoman. You have Simply Real Estate in Albuquerque. You work with your husband, David. You guys have made some decisions about your own lives and sharing part of what you earn with Feed New Mexico Kids, not just financially, but also with your time. And I know from, you know, receiving emails and things from you, that takes some time. Why have you made that decision to do that on a regular basis? I guess you found out some of these stories, getting to know Tracy. You've seen this happen in schools as you've been a volunteer.
Yeah, I actually, before doing real estate, I was a teacher. Oh. And so being in education, that also gave me that heart and desire to help kids, because I saw firsthand, being a third grade teacher, if kids came in hungry, they're not going to learn. And so I was the teacher that went to Sam's Club on the weekends and stocked up the classroom so that I could feed kids if they needed it, so that we could move on and learn math and learn to read and do all of those things. And so I think it ended up being such a sweet little fit for me as far as, who do I volunteer with? What do I do? I knew this is going to make a huge impact, and the money stays here. It stays locally. We get to help kids that are just down the street from us in the schools that surround us.
So if you were a teacher and knew about Feed New Mexico Kids at the time, you could have just had some snack packs on board. Yes. Tracy, this is kind of directed to both of you. We ought to be really thankful for our educators. You know, I know there's a lot of criticism leveled about where we fall in education and
yes.
stuff nationally. But I'm telling you, like Jama, there's a lot of teachers spending money out of their pocket, which is pretty expensive. Again, I'm kind of appealing to you. Feed New Mexico Kids provides food to children and teachers to distribute and schools to distribute without expecting to be paid for it. But as you know, nothing's free. So again, I'm hoping that our listeners might want to be part of supporting this financially. And you started supporting kids financially with food before you ever involved with Feeding New Mexico Kids. How would having snack packs available to you as a teacher have impacted students' lives?
Oh, I think it would have made a huge difference, because then I would have had that peace of mind of knowing that kids are not just going to be fed when they're here at our school, when they get a lot of them, thankfully, were able to have free breakfast, free lunch while they were at school. But to know that they were going to be supported over the weekend and not come in that Monday morning, you could just tell. You could tell by the way that they looked, by just their attention level, everything that they were feeling in that moment. It was always just to get going for the week was a lot. And so to know that there's a group of people that really care about kids, they're making these snack packs, they're delivering it to all these different schools throughout the area, I would have loved to have that connection. And I know that for my teacher friends that are still working in the schools, I've connected them with Feed New Mexico Kids. And it's been awesome to see that I can still go back into the schools and visit and see them and bring them food. And it gives them a lot of peace of mind, too.
It's a common question we get, actually, Jim, that Jama just answered perfectly. I think that was the Holy Spirit. A lot of times people ask, well, how do the teachers know which kids need the food? Like, since we have a wait list, typically, and we can talk about that a little later on in the program because it has to do with finances, but we have to the teachers have to figure out the priority, which kids really need it. It's not just a free-for-all. So you just said, like, they're lethargic, they're not paying attention. That's a good, like, thing for the listeners to understand.
Tracy, tell us a little bit about, and I don't know if this affects younger kids as much as it would high school person.
Yeah.
But Feed New Mexico Kids is very careful about how the snack packs are distributed, not to bring attention to the challenges that a young person may be faced at home. I can only imagine a, and this might be describing your experience, 15, 16-year-old girl experiencing food insecurity. Mm-hmm. How would snack packs have impacted your life if you had them when you were that young?
You know, we've talked about this often, and I can't even imagine what that would have meant. See, for me personally, this is not for everybody. Once again, I don't want to make a blanket statement. My sister and I were alone so much, reliant on maybe a family member could get us something to eat. I remember asking my grandmother that lived up the street if she had something to eat, and she gave me an apple that was going bad. So if I had a snack pack that I could just go and share with my sister, and she would probably have gotten one too, that would have been huge. Because you don't know, we didn't know when our mom was going to come back, you know, because she was out doing her thing. So that would have completely changed our lives. And I have studied this quite a bit as an adult, right? Because the trauma that we experience as we're younger, and then we come to know the Lord, then he kind of says, I've saved you from this. Now I want you to help others in this situation because you understand it, whatever that situation of trauma is. And so children that get food on the weekend, and remember, this is weekend food. It's snack food. It's not meals. It's not meant for the whole family. It's for that child to kind of bridge the gap in between meals that they might or might not get. I don't know. But those kids are three times more likely to go to school on Monday. Mm. You know, I remember asking my mom all the time, can I just stay home? Can I just stay home? Because it was so embarrassing to go to school. Because if you don't have food and you have a neglectful parent, there's a lot of things that are an iceberg underneath that. You don't have clean clothes. You're probably not showering regularly. You're not brushing your teeth. You're not, you know, your shoes are too small. I mean, there's a lot that goes with that. It's not just food. That's just the tip of the iceberg, unfortunately. So I tried to stay home a lot from school.
You work very closely with teachers. Mm-hmm. They're aware that the school has snack packs available. They're given out discreetly. But the teachers have relationships with their students, and they therefore are able to recommend, this person is in need of help. Can we help them?
They're like angels in the classroom. Mm. They really are. They're advocates, and they work so hard to get their kids what they need.
I know that there's people that have a chance to share their faith within the ministry in relationships, but you're taking care of every child the ministry can possibly take care of, regardless of their religious background, their commitment to Christ or not.
Right.
People of faith, people that are not of faith, you're taking care of them, right?
We have no discrimination whatsoever. If a child is hungry, they get a snack pack.
And that's amazing. We're going to take a break. There's so much more to talk about. Before we started the program, Jayma was a little nervous that we could fill an hour. Well, 15 minutes is already gone. This goes very quickly. And by the way, if you're listening right now, we can't possibly cover all about Feed New Mexico Kids. So go to feednmkids.org, feednmkids.org, and find out how, you know, more information about it. When we come back, we're going to talk about a documentary that was produced by Sarah Conafani. And there's some other stuff that are that's being posted on the website that I think people can get a lot more perspective. Just thinking about a 5-year-old or an 18-year-old that doesn't have food from Friday night to Monday morning is absolutely heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. So this ministry, Feed New Mexico Kids, is providing that. We'll be back with Tracy Rodden and Jayma Reed right after these messages. Thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you this afternoon. Tracy Rodden, the Executive Director of Feed New Mexico Kids, and Volunteer Board of Directors, Secretary Jayma Reed. She's a local real estate professional, along with her husband, David. Jayma's been serving as a secretary, sending out all the communications to keep everybody up to date as to what's going on with Feed New Mexico Kids. I want to mention the website again. It's feednmkids, KIDS.org. Great place for you to go. And we're going to talk right now. Jayma, I've got a question for you. Are there people that are, you know, maybe school principals and things that are asking for help from Feed New Mexico Kids that maybe you don't have the finances to help right now?
Yeah. So we, unfortunately, we start every school year with a wait list. And that just means that it's good that our name is getting out there, word's getting out. The need is increasing. So what we hope is that we get enough funds this summer so that we don't have to start with that longer list of kids that are waiting and putting people on hold when they call us and ask for those snack packs. So that's the goal, but there are kids on the wait list right now.
I'm going to skip down my list, Tracy, because I think this is kind of neat. This information is on the website.
Yeah.
If you're an individual and you'd like to feed a child for all 4 weeks of a month, that would be $22.
Right.
And you'd have one child guaranteed of having food on the weekends for that much money. And like, not a lot of this money, if any, is going to overhead. Now, not all of it's food, because you need some gallon Ziploc bags.
Right.
You've got to have some boxes. I mean, but all the money that's donated is going into serving the kids, right?
Right. So if I could just give a little background about that. A lot of times, nonprofits / charities are given a bad name because they have money that go to administrative or overhead. And I just want to challenge people who think that that's negative to understand that we still have to pay for Ziploc bags, spoons. You know, we try to get that stuff donated, but it's tough. But also, I do this full time. This almost 24/7. And I'm the only full-time person. And then there's a part-time administrative person that helps with the back end of things with Feed New Mexico Kids. So we do have angel donors that are specific for the administrative part. But sometimes we need to use money to for marketing. You know, we just have to. We can't run on a budget of zero to getting the word out there. It's just not realistic in this day and age. So the difference between a for-profit and a nonprofit is for-profit gives money back to shareholders, board members, for many people's income.
They're making an investment.
They're making an investment. We are not.
For an expected return on that investment.
Right.
People that are giving to the charity, their return on the investment is to see people blessed.
Right. And many of us that work in nonprofits are taking quite a loss to work for a nonprofit because it's our heart. And so we look for taking a reduced salary. So there's that part of it, which it's really important to understand that. I would say that every single person that donates to Feed New Mexico Kids, either by check or online, 100% of that money buys food. We don't have to rent a warehouse. Thank the Lord for the Doyles and Intrepid Whole Food Grocery, because they give us a space for free. It's not completely ideal, but the Lord never gives us completely ideal. He wants us I've kind of felt slightly uncomfortable, a little bit too hot in the summer, a little bit too cold in the winter. It's not exactly, you know, the way we need it to be. But because of the Doyles, Ryan and Antoinette, we have no monthly expense for our space, which would normally cost about $5,000 a month. A lot of people tell me, you need to get fans in here. You need to get AC in here. You should have a warehouse. Well, if somebody wants to write me a $5,000 a month check, I would gladly take it for the warehouse, but I'm not going to spend food money. By the way, $5,000 is about what it costs just the warehouse to buy food for the week.
And let's talk about this with Jaima. Jaima, another little option that's available for people to give financially is $264 a month. That would provide 12 snack packs per week, each week for a whole month. I find that to be kind of interesting for a business, like your real estate business. There's a lot of businesses that could afford $264 a month. And that takes care of 12 students. That might take care of a whole school.
Exactly. Yes.
That's big. Yeah, it's such a small amount of money in the whole scheme of things. You know, people say, hey, maybe if you don't buy that coffee that week, you know, it adds up, right? Just maybe cutting back on some things. But that's part of why I also brought Feed New Mexico Kids back to Simply Real Estate. So I've been able to, I have a great broker who runs the brokerage, and she lets me talk about Feed New Mexico Kids. And when we have our monthly staff meetings, it's a great time to collect donations from other brokers. And we've even created sign writers that we can put on our listings to get the word out. So I've had other realtors call me and say, hey, they might not be calling about the house, but they're calling me about my sign writer that says, we feed New Mexico children.
Oh, so you actually post this on your real estate sign?
I do. Yeah. And so it's a great way to get it out, get the word out to more people, to my clients, my sellers, but also to other real estate brokers. And so that amount of money is pretty doable for most people that in my business that
and
they
shout can, out to other real estate brokers.
Yes, yes.
They're not viewing you as competition. They want to join you in helping, don't they?
That's what I have found. That yeah, they also want to give back to the community. We have this lovely flexibility in our schedules, and so it gives us a chance to maybe either have those packing days with other brokers, or we can, you know, get out and volunteer and help actually physically pack those snacks. So
yeah, you've come with your with other agents from your office to pack.
Yeah. So
what was the like feedback? I'm kind of curious about that.
Oh, they love it. Like it's just a great chance for us. Not only sometimes we don't even get to see each other. We don't. It can be a little lonely business sometimes, and you're kind of on your own. But it gives us a chance to not only be around each other, get to know each other a little bit better, but we've really created that family within Simply Real Estate by having these packing days, and also it makes them realize where they can put their money. They can put their time. They can put their effort. And there's been other. It's kind of spread to other groups within Simply. So they'll bring certain groups will bring their team to pack as well. So I love seeing that. It's spreading around.
It's in a community in your backyard.
Yes.
Okay. But we're talking about packing.
Yeah.
We kind of need to explain to our listeners. I know you've been on the air quite a bit with us, but they maybe need to understand because I want people not just to think about making sure they give to make sure kids have food, but I also want them to understand there's ways for you to volunteer as a business. Maybe you have a team of six people in your business and you could come over. How long would it take to pack 10 or 12 snack packs with six other people?
20 minutes.
Yeah. So that's a packing day. They can come to the warehouse and they can do that. Some churches like Legacy Church, they are really running Feed New Mexico Kids. Their donations from their church go specifically to supporting the schools that they support, and they pack with their own team.
And smaller churches, too.
Yeah.
Legacy is a big church. I think everybody kind of knows that. But smaller churches that just have maybe 100 congregants will pack. And I have been to those smaller churches, Jim. And what's really beautiful about packing snack packs with Feed New Mexico Kids is the churches will set up, you know, these long 6-foot tables. And you'll see 10-year-olds packing. You'll see elderly people in wheelchairs packing. If you can't physically pack, then you're sitting and you're making these encouragement cards that are huge. High schoolers love the encouragement cards that have just a little note of encouragement, like be kind, keep going, you can do it, or rolling spoons in a napkin. The ministry has so many different facets to it. You could do so many different things with it if you're a church.
And when we come back for our third segment, we're going to talk about maybe you're a business like Jama has and you want to underwrite so many snack packs for a whole school. Or maybe you're a church and you want to adopt a school. We even have churches that have adopted a high school and a middle school and an elementary school in a particular district. So I hope you keep listening. Tracy Rodden and Jama Reed with us from Feed to Mexico Kids. We'll be back after these messages. Jim Williams with you this afternoon on ABQ Connect. I've got Jama Reed. She's a volunteer with Feed New Mexico Kids, along with their executive director, Tracy Rodden. Ladies, I know that we've already blown through half the show, and we probably have a lot more to talk about than we have left, but we're going to do our best to try to cover as much information as we can about the ministry. FeedNMKids.org is the website as you're listening today. Don't do this in your car, please. Listen intently, but remember feednmkids.org. If you may be at an office or something and you're listening, you might want to just save the website address, because there's a lot of information, including a documentary that was put together a couple of years by Sarah Canafani and Holly Slade. Holly, of course, maintaining her interest in the ministry, had continued as a board member. She's now living abroad with her husband, Dave, and they've been longtime supporters of both our station and Feed to Mexico Kids. I'm just amazed at the generosity that a lot of people have. Mm-hmm. Tracy, but you said something during the break that really alarms me. You know already.
Yeah.
You can estimate what the wait list is going to be. We should say first that Feed New Mexico Kids and all the churches that are involved, many small churches, a couple large churches, you're already feeding between everything about 4,000 kids.
Yeah, I would say it's more than 4,000. It's closer to 5.
Okay.
So Common Grounds Church is our newest addition to the Feed New Mexico Kids family. They'll be jumping in the fall, and they're going to take over a high school that's already one that the warehouse is serving. So if you understand how Feed New Mexico Kids works, it's kind of like a McDonald's franchise. Feed New Mexico Kids, Inc. warehouse is the hub, and we pack there only because we can't find enough church partners to take the list that we have. And we serve over 48 schools just from our warehouse. That's the largest number of the Feed New Mexico Kids family that we're packing for. And then from there, we have 13 other churches in central New Mexico, all the way from Las Lunas to Santa Fe. And now we're adding Angel Fire. I'm really excited about that in the fall. And hopefully the Enchanted Circle, because there's a lot of need in Cuesta, Red River, Española, and those areas. But those other church partners, they are taking on what they can. But APS is the largest school district of the 5 school districts that we serve currently. And so in the first year I was the executive director in the fall, we had 300 kids on the wait list. In the second year as the executive director, we had 700 kids on the wait list. Last year, we had 1,000. And with the schools already emailing me, getting geared up, the APS schools, it's looking like 1,200 kids. And so what happens, Jim, is a lot of people think about funding kids with snack packs at school when school's in session. 100%, that makes sense to me. For some reason, that monthly funding falls off in the summer. And so we start the summer in a negative. So we need $85,000 between now and the beginning of school, which is approximately August 5th, to make sure there are no kids on the wait list. That seems like a really big number, but the Lord can do anything when the heart is willing.
Well, and again, at a cost of a little bit over $5 for a snack pack, that's a lot of kids that both need food and are getting food. Mm-hmm. And I should say, Tracy, you were feeding a lot less kids when you came on as executive director.
Yeah.
So funding has increased, but the more people that know about this, and again, I'm going to go back and mention something that Jama said. Jama, if you're living in a small community like Angel Fire and you have a business, you could be a realtor. You could be a dentist. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're not part of a church, but you know of a church that's adopting a school in Angel Fire, you can support that, can't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. You don't even necessarily need to be a member of that church. Just reaching out and being able to help fund that school. We have so much need in northern New Mexico, and we've been fortunate to get some grants that are specified for that area.
Yes.
And it's great to see that we're going to be able to bring those snack packs and that food into that area. But absolutely, it gives you the opportunity to step right in and either give your time, give your volunteer, you can time, effort, whatever you have available. It's really important, and I think it's a great way to get involved in the community.
Tracy, talk about, I mean, you have a lot of funding sources. You primarily deal with donations from individuals and businesses that donate to the ministry.
Yes.
But you also are doing some grant writing, as Jamie just mentioned. This church that's getting started with a school in Angel Fire, do you guys go up and show them how to pack and be kind of cool to get maybe 1 week out of the month, a group of realtors up there could get together and have a packing party.
Mm-hmm.
You might even pack enough for a whole month in an hour together, can't you?
Yeah,
absolutely.
So there's a lot of facets to your question. The first thing that comes to mind is I want to be really clear that when you see the example of the Feed New Mexico Kids Warehouse, that food is not just given to us. A lot of people say, oh, it's so great, people just gave you this food. You know, no, we buy it from Sam's Club. We spend between $5,000 and $8,000 a week, depending on how many kids we're able to feed. We have volunteers that put that order in. We pay for it out of the Feed New Mexico Kids bank account. Volunteers go pick up the food with their trucks, bring it to the warehouse, unload it, organize it, count it, do inventory to have on a Friday to be ready for the Monday packing. And that's done week after week after week after week. And there's 36 weeks in a school year. Okay. So that's the first thing that I want to be really clear about. Sometimes we get large donations. Sandia National Lab last year gave us over $6,000 in food. And they were very great to go online and give us specific food that we needed, not just what they thought we needed. They gave us the exact food we could pack. So a business can do that. They can, you know, have their employees spend a whole month and everybody brings one item in. The other thing is we do go to churches to help them organize their volunteers. We teach them how to pack. We teach them how to purchase food. Today, Jim, you'll be on a Zoom call with me with Restore Church. Mm-hmm. And one of their people that I'd reached out to, he's interested in Feed New Mexico Kids, and he just wants to learn what does that look like. And so I get on either a Zoom or a phone call or in person, and I explain exactly the steps that they need. And typically what happens with a church, you know, we know where you don't want to ask the head pastor of any church, regardless of the size, to take on one more thing that they get to do. But once the head pastor of whatever, the outreach ministry, the missions ministry, community ministry, that's typically who we talk with, even children's ministry, that once that they that church decides to take on Feed New Mexico Kids, they pray and they put it before their church. And then the Lord touches a heart of a volunteer. You know, for instance, my friend Barbara Novak, I spoke at Santa Fe Calvary and said, if there's anybody here who feels like they have a heart for this, talk to me afterwards. She walked right up to me and she said, I'm from Texas. I used to be in the military. I used to run a food pantry when I lived in Texas. The Lord told me I need to head this up. And she's been amazing. She's here in Albuquerque now, but she does a lot for Feed New Mexico Kids. And she brings her talent. You know, she helps her with our newsletter. She helps with funding. She comes up with great ideas. You know, just like anybody else who runs a business, a nonprofit's not any different. Honestly, I'll just be really transparent. I don't need one more good idea of what I can go do to get money.
Right.
You know, I have a pretty good working brain. And
but Tracy, you're also really flexible with,
yes,
you're training people how to put together the snack packs.
Yes.
We probably should talk about the food, because people do make food donations.
Yes.
The problem is they might donate something that can't really be used in the snack packs. And by the way, that food is not going to waste, but you donate it to other food providers.
Right.
You know, like you know, like Roadrunner Food Bank and et cetera?
Well, we donate. So the food in the snack pack is designed specifically for it's shelf-stable food, right? It's not going to go bad. It's food that a five-year-old can open and eat on their own. That doesn't include the things we get, like pancake mix, something that needs a can opener, something that needs to, you know, be heated on the stove or in an oven, rice, beans. All those things are a no for feeding a Mexican
kid. And as you're listening, think about why the snack pack has been designed. Because we have very young children. We have high school young people.
Right.
We have middle schoolers. And they can't cook things,
right?
Or they don't have access, or maybe they're couch surfing where their family's actually homeless, but they have a chance to eat something and keep sustenance going. And again, it's not the perfect scenario, but at least it's providing fillers and some sustenance.
Well, let's just assume that a child who is food insecure does not have access to an oven, stove, or microwave. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the food that we've put together is the three items. If you can only remember three things, because that's me. I can only remember three things at a time. That's maybe why I only had three kids, because those are the only three names I can remember. But it would be mac and cheese, single serve, cheese crackers, because we want to avoid the peanut allergy issue. And the third thing is ramen. So mac and cheese, single serve, ramen, cheese crackers. If those are the only three things you can remember, that would move the ministry so far ahead. Mm. Huge. It's huge.
And you mentioned Restore Church. Do you know if Justin, I think Justin Pearson is their pastor. Justin is actually a Hope graduate.
Yeah.
And he didn't set up a church in the most swank area of Albuquerque. He is out in what they call the International District in Albuquerque.
Yeah.
And those are the people that he has heart for.
Yeah.
And you've got lots of schools with lots of kids in that area. So I'm excited about Restore Church and their interest.
Yeah, we'll be speaking to John today from Restore Church.
Okay.
So that's really exciting. And, you know, we're always available. Email us. You can find us on Instagram. A lot of Gen Zers are not super excited about social media, but it is a tool that we have to use. And we're at feednmkids_official. If you just follow us and share our stuff on your story, the algorithm, the Instagram algorithm, will put us higher on the list. And so we'll be seen more. And it's all about awareness. So let's use this tool to make people aware of the 90,000 children in our state that are food insecure. You know, we use it to take a picture of the latest shoes we bought, or, you know, hey, I'm on vacation at this place, or look at, you know, this plate of food at this nice restaurant. Why can't we use it to further a cause like feeding a food insecure child that's going to grow up to be an adult in our state?
Yes. Hey,
that we don't like the way it's run, so we want to change it.
Hey, we've got one more segment with Tracy and Jema. They were with Feed New Mexico Kids, and we hope you'll stay with us. Very important ministry throughout the state of New Mexico. We've already mentioned both Albuquerque and Angel Fire. I know there's things going on in Bosque and other places, Rio Rancho, et cetera. So there's more and more interest because people are now identifying, hey, there is a need. We have children that don't have food on the weekends, and we need to figure out a way to help them. We'll be back on ABQ Connect. Please stay with us. Jim Williams with you this afternoon on ABQ Connect. Tracy Rodden, the executive director of Feed New Mexico Kids, along with board member Jema Reed, a local businesswoman in real estate with Simply Real Estate, are in studio. And I really appreciate you all being here. Jema, are you surprised how fast this goes?
It's gone really quick.
I mean, it's hard to get all the information, especially when you're passionate like you two are. And I would love to be able to give people all the information, but it's almost like a teaser. We're only New Mexico Kids. Please go to feednmkids.org. And when I say, are you interested in more information, you might be in Portales, New Mexico, and you've got a school that has a need. We need to know about that.
Right.
Because as soon as we let your community know about it, a lot of times people will rally and help fund it.
100%. Yeah.
And that's happening, isn't it, with various churches that have come on board.
Yeah. And what's really cool is sometimes I reach out to churches and say, hey, would you like to partner with us? We can come and teach and train and help. And the cool thing about Feed New Mexico Kids, we have so many resources. We have people who donate their marketing time for us. We have people who donate social media expertise for us, you know, website expertise for us. And so it's kind of what I call a ministry in a box. It's already put together. You don't have to figure it out. We have a brand new video coming out Wednesday. You'll see snippets on our social media, and it has Dustin King, it has Tim from Berean First Baptist, and it has Jessica, who is a counselor from Rio Grande High School. And I'm on there for a minute just explaining who Feed New Mexico Kids is, but it's so powerful where when Jessica from Rio Grande High talks about what it really means to these high schoolers that get a snack pack. And one thing she said that struck my heart that I'll never forget is she said, if you've ever been in a position where you've had to ask somebody else for help, you know how humbling that is. Mm. And these kids are doing it.
Tracy, I can't help but go to this question now. Hormones, as we've all had to deal with them, when you're, I guess sometimes girls are dealing with them as early as 12 now.
Yes.
You know, it used to be they didn't have to deal with that till they were 14. Now, boys, you hit 15, you got hormones raging.
Yeah.
Imagine having that, worrying about your self-image, worrying about passing the test, worrying about your parents not being around, and you have nothing to eat.
Right.
And you have a crush on this person or that person.
Right.
That's got to be a lot.
And a lot of times, this just kind of is something that's been in my head lately. We want to keep kids on the straight and narrow, just to say it in a simplistic way. And so a lot of ways that we do that is by saying, you need to be in an organized sport. And Jim, you know that as well as anybody because of basketball. How can you be in a basketball team, on a team, to be in an organized sport, to stay on the straight and narrow, if you're not eating?
Impossible.
Boy or girl, doesn't matter, right?
Right.
So we want these young people to stay out of trouble, quote unquote, to be able to get a good education, to go on to, you know, either a trade school or college or a profession of their choice. But they just really, your frontal lobe is not even fully developed. And all my kids know this because I've said it to them, until you're 25 years old, which is your cognitive thinking. Right. So if you can't even really reason out something in the future, why are we expecting these young people to figure it out? Go figure it out. And people will say to me all the time, and it's because I love the Lord that my mouth stays shut. However, this is what I hear. That's the government's responsibility. That's not mine. That's their parents' responsibility. That's not mine. However, the Lord tells us if we see a need, that is the believer's responsibility to be the hands and feet of the Lord to take care of that. That's why Christians have developed the Red Cross, orphanages, you know, these amazing different things to help people.
As you're talking about that, Tracy, I'm thinking about high school age people that are probably, the majority are not food insecure. They're maybe not thought about it before. They're not maybe cognizant that they need to say, thank you, Lord, for each meal that I have. But here's the other thing. They could easily put together a group of five or six of their friends and come pack food for Feed New Mexico Kids.
Well, I would make a bigger challenge even than that. I mean, I think that's amazing. Yes, anybody who wants to pack, give us a call. But if your church has a youth ministry, how is your youth ministry serving in their community? Are you guys just showing up to be fed and to get like a fattened cow? Or are you then spending time to take in the Lord's word, to get filled up, and then to go and put it back out into your community? When my kids were young, the number one rule I had for them, even as a single mom, there's two things you have to do. You have to be in service, in church, in service, listening to a message, and you have to be serving. So pick what that is and make that happen. Both things have to happen. And all three of my children are in ministry. married to people in ministry who love the Lord.
How does it lift you up, Jaima, to actually see and get feedback from a school that they were able to give out all the snack packs? Does that bless you?
Oh, absolutely. You know that you're making a difference every week. Mm-hmm. That every week when you go in there and you drop that food off, and to see the smiles and to see them excited that you showed up and that you continue to show up and bring that into the schools, it makes a huge difference. And it's so heartwarming to hear the stories about, you know, when kids open up their snack pack and they see the encouragement cards and how that makes them feel. And it's just really great to hear from the counselors when they share those personal stories about how it's affecting kids.
Tracy, we don't have a lot of time left, I think a couple minutes, but I wanted you to talk about the attendance, behavior, and grades that students have when they are actually eating. They have food on the weekends. It improves, doesn't it?
It does improve. So for all of those people who love statistics, I'll just throw those out there because that's the easiest way to do it. So kids who are food insecure are 2 times more likely to skip a school, 3 times more likely to be expelled, 5 times more likely to commit suicide.
Oh, that's so heartbreaking.
Okay. 5 times more likely to commit suicide in a food insecure teenager in New Mexico, let's not be naive, is more likely to trade sex for food than their peers who are food secure.
Can you imagine someone using food?
Yes, 100%.
To garner sexual favors from a child? I mean, all of this is so solvable.
Yeah.
And it's actually not complicated. It takes some hard work.
Right.
But it's not complicated.
If every believer got involved, it would be solved.
Yes.
Every believer in New Mexico did one thing, one tiny little thing, it would be solved. On a consistent basis, not a one-time. Throughout the whole state.
I mean, you mentioned 90,000 people approximately, you estimate.
Children, yes.
Children that are food insecure in the state of New Mexico.
Yes.
It's not even every believer. I bet you if you could get 50% of the churches in our state to get involved, the
right.
problem solved.
Right.
That's right. Not, I don't think that's a big ask. And it really isn't that expensive. We already mentioned on the website, a business, for example, could give $264 a month. That feeds 12 students for an entire month. That's not a lot of money.
And as Jaima mentioned, you know, honestly, between 11 and 1:30, when you drive by a Chick-fil-A, the line is around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
It's $10 at minimum to get a meal at Chick-fil-A for one person.
Yes.
If you skip that once a week and you make a bologna sandwich at home and take it, you can feed a child that's going to grow up one day and hopefully take care of you as an elder person. I mean, these are things that are on my mind.
Yeah. Again, totally blessed that you're both here. Jaima, I'm excited about you learning everything about Feed New Mexico Kids, from packing to now being the secretary and serving on the board of directors. And Tracy, great work. I think
thank
that
you.
Everything the ministry is doing with money and accountability and actually helping churches. I hope everybody that's listening will get on board and go to feednmkids.org and take a look at how you might help. Thank you all for joining us.